Good morning. Welcome, Grace Lutheran Church. Today is a very important day. Today we will hope that the Lord is going to bless us with a new pastor. We ask all members to remain in this church until we're finished with that. We may have four to go through, depending on how quick we select a unanimous pastor. Non-members, you may leave after service. You may stay here if you'd like to watch, but you may not vote. Opening hymn today is number 904.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on Paul's letter to Timothy, the first epistle, the first chapter, reading from the 12th verse. "I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful, putting me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is a special day for this congregation. Today, you will assist your Lord and Savior as he provides a pastor for you. This giving of a pastor is one of the many gifts that the Lord of the church gives, so that his purpose of coming in flesh to his Father's fallen creation might be fulfilled. And that purpose, as you have just heard, is to save sinners. Many in the church refer to Paul, the Apostle Paul, as Saint Paul, and that, of course, is true. But Paul does not refer to himself in that way, but rather as the foremost sinner. In utmost humility, he refers to himself saying, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent of Christ."
How is it then that Paul should be made to be an apostle of Jesus by Jesus himself? I am certain that you recall Paul's journey to Damascus to bind in chains the followers of this Jesus. But along the way, Paul, as one born out of time, comes face to face, as it were, with Jesus, though Paul cannot see him. As Paul asks who was speaking to him, he hears the words of the Son of God answering, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." In Acts chapter 9, God sends Ananias to Paul. And Ananias answered the Lord's request, saying, "Lord, I have heard many times about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority of the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Sounds like a reasonable response. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, do what I say, for he is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." There you have it. Paul, the persecutor, under Christ, becomes the persecuted. The one who followed the law to its utmost degree, imprisoning all those who believed in the gospel of Jesus, now boldly proclaims, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Why the change in this man, Paul? The answer was in our text. Paul, the sinner, was reconnected to God through Jesus Christ. Not by keeping the law as a Pharisee of Pharisees, but merely by the mercy of God through faith in Christ, the author and perfecter of faith. That is why Paul says, "I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord, because he judged me faithful, putting me to his service." Now, for the word putting, many English translations use the term appointing, which to my way of thinking is a little weak. But the Greek term used here actually means to put. It was here, and I put it here. To put. That is what Jesus does with Paul. Paul was put to service by Christ. First, conversion, leading to repentance and faith, and then put into service through baptism into Christ's body, the church. A chosen instrument of the Lord to carry the name of Jesus before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In the New Testament, there are recorded for us many different ways that the Lord of the church puts into service. He put the original 11 apostles. And other than these original 11 apostles, this putting takes place after the Lord's ascension for Paul, as if Paul is one born out of due time. Yet, although it is done in different ways, all have been put by Jesus. Some, as we note in Acts 1, are put into the office by lot. Others are appointed by the apostles or other pastors. Titus is instructed by the apostle Paul to appoint pastors in every city. But all are put into the office by Christ. And pastors are put for the sake of the gospel. Put there for offering the work of Christ through the gifts of Christ to repentant sinners. We call these gifts the means of grace, or in Lutheran shorthand, word and sacraments. What is the task of these men so put by Christ? What are they to do? How are they to be considered? Good questions, especially on a day like today. The Apostle Paul answers this question saying, "This is how one should think of us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." And then the Apostle goes on to say, "Above all, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." Servants of Christ. Stewards, caretakers of the mysteries of Christ. Word and sacrament. And faithful. Faithful. Faithful to their calling. And again, in 2 Corinthians, Paul explains even further. He says, when he calls it the ministry of reconciliation, all this, he says, is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation, putting back together what had become separated, putting you back in connection with your Creator, what sin had separated in God's created world. And then Paul goes on to say, God does this, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this ministry of reconciliation. And then he says further, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, therefore, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then he explains how this reconciliation takes place. For our sake, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Having taught this very verse for 5 years to seminarians in Kenya, who used English as not a second language, sometimes a third language, it became incumbent upon me to help them understand pronouns. Him and her were interchangeable for most third language speaking people. It wasn't a problem for them, but it is a problem if you do that in our text. So I took it upon myself to explain it with the nouns rather than the pronouns. For sinners' sake, the Father made the Son. The Father, God the Father, made God the Son to be sin for sinners, so that in God the Son, we might receive the righteousness of God the Father. Today is a special day for Grace Lutheran Church, Grass Valley. Today is a day that you are privileged to assist the Lord of the church as, through your call, he puts his pastor here. Through you, he calls one, which he puts into the office, one given to the church, so that the benefits of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, might be proclaimed to his church, offered to this community and to the world. And how will you assist the Lord of the church in this undertaking? Well, if you were of this world, you might put out a job description that goes something like this: wanted, a man of God who will spend 35% of his time working with the youth, 30% of his time assisting the elderly, 25% of his time visiting the sick and the shut-in, 20% of his time preparing Bible classes, 35% of his time working with his family and other families, 30% of his time preparing law and gospel sermons, and 50% of his time working in the community. Plus, he should be willing at all times of the day and night handling emergencies. And then you select your choice as one who best meets your needs. Do I need to remind you, you are not of this world? Because you belong to Christ, you will prepare differently. You will prepare to assist in the call process by listening carefully, listening carefully not merely to the descriptions of those candidates that put before you by the call committee, but listening carefully to Christ. Above all, Christ says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You cannot follow Christ if you do not first let him speak to you. And how does he speak? He speaks with his creating word. He speaks with the word that created the world. He speaks with the word that creates faith in you. And he speaks with the word that directs your hearts and life to be a follower of his Son. Second, you have been called upon by your Lord to pray diligently. First, you listen to his word. Then you pray diligently, and only then you indicate your understanding of God's will and ministry in this place by casting a ballot. And as we heard earlier, then finally we will make that call unanimous, since this man is put here by Christ to serve us all. You see, this is not a political process, but it is an indication of where the Holy Spirit, through word and prayer, leads your heart and your mind to be in tune to the heart and mind of Christ. You must think God's thoughts after him. Pastor Froh, I'm a Lutheran. What does it mean to think God's thoughts after him? Fair question. Let me answer with an example. Johannes Kepler, himself a Lutheran, a 17th century scientist who developed the laws of planetary motion, still in effect to this day, defined science this way. Pure science, Kepler said, is thinking God's thoughts after him. To select the pastor that God would put in this place, you must think God's thoughts after him. In other words, you must die to self, die to your reason, die to your desires. And as he lives in you through the means of grace, then you will live for him. Then the Holy Spirit will direct your heart and life to follow the will of Christ regarding pastor and ministry for this congregation. Godly thinking and godly decisions follow the mind of Christ. In this manner, you have the sure certainty that God will put his man in this place to be your pastor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.